Has there ever been a time that you have been very, very thirsty? A particular time comes to my mind. I was able to spend a semester studying abroad in Rome during my seminary time. And to begin that semester, my classmates and I began with a week of pilgrimage, walking through Italy on this ancient pilgrimage route called the Via Francigena. It starts in Canterbury, England, and you get a boat across the channel and you can keep walking. So we flew into Rome and then we took a train up to Viterbo, so we walked the last 120 kilometers or so of it. So we were walking along. This was our first few days in Italy, and this was our third day on pilgrimage. And by this time we had blisters, we were tired, we'd gotten lost a few times, and so it wasn't easy going. And this was our longest day. We had 33 kilometers to walk. And it happened that day that we were running out of water. And we had our water bottles and we had a couple other bottles, you know, Fanta bottles and whatnot, that we'd finished all the beverages that were inside, and so we had them filled up with water then. So we had some water, but it was a long day and it was hot, and so we were running out of water. And so it was a very thirsty couple of hours as we were pushing ourselves to reach the town at the end of our journey that day. So my friends ran out of water completely. I, more concerned about dehydration, was very carefully rationing it, but that meant I was just constantly thinking about water and trying to save it and, you know, taking just a small sip and just being thirsty and worried. And it was lukewarm water by that time in the sun, you know, warmed by the sun. And so it wasn't a very happy walk. So as we finally approached the town, we walked up this big hill and through this old gate into the walled city. And as we entered this little piazza, we heard the most magical sound, the sound of splashing water. And there in the piazza was the most beautiful sight, a little fountain with a spout of cool, clear water falling down into a basin. We all rushed towards the fountain. We drank from the fountain. I filled up my Nalgene bottle and I drank nearly the whole thing right then and there. It was the best water I've had in my life. And my thirst was satiated. I was satisfied at last. We had reached the fountain, the source of what we were thirsting for. Our second reading talks about water and about this fountain of water. It says in the book of Revelation, "Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it to receive the gift of life-giving water." Scripture also talks in the book of Revelation, earlier chapter, there's this stream of life-giving water which flows out from the throne of the Lamb and waters the city of God. It's a beautiful image. Now this passage, of course, in the final chapter of the book of Revelation, Book of Revelation, that most symbolic book of the Bible, most mysterious. It's always hard to tell what's going on. So if you had to guess whether it's talking about literal water or whether it's a symbol of something, you'd probably guess it's a symbol, and you'd be right. It's not talking about water which quenches the thirst of the body, but water which quenches the thirst of the soul. And that's a much trickier thing. After all, water is one of the most abundant materials on earth. You know, just around here, think of how many ponds there are. We always live near water. Humans have gotten very good at finding water, collecting it, purifying it. We're good at finding the water for our bodies. But we're not so good at finding and obtaining something which satisfies the whole person, which quenches the thirst of our souls. Because it's pretty rare to meet a person who is dying of thirst. Now, that doesn't happen around here. If it did, we would do something about it. We'd get him a glass of water. But how often do you meet or hear of someone in your life who is seeking happiness in all the wrong places and who's just destroying their life as a result? Or a person who is just beaten down by life, who is depressed and has given up on life having any real meaning? Or someone who has no idea what life is really about, no idea what they're supposed to be doing here, no idea what will fulfill them. We all have a thirst in us, a thirst for the fullness of life, a thirst of our souls for meaning, for fulfillment, for true joy. We don't know what that truly is or where it lies or how to find it, but we know the thirst. We experience that thirst of our souls. We try to quench it with earthly things, but we find it doesn't work. Now, perhaps this trip will finally satisfy my thirst. Perhaps this relationship will finally be it. Perhaps this new job will satisfy me finally. But ultimately, these attempts don't work. They can be good, but they don't completely fulfill us. Only God can give us the water that quenches that thirst of our souls. And that's because our souls were made for him. This living water, this life-giving water that he gives us is himself. St. Augustine says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." We were made to drink in the presence of God. That's what our souls were made for. That's what quenches the thirst of our souls. That's why no earthly thing satisfies us completely. God gives us this water of life, and he gives it to us free of charge. He says in our reading, "Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it to receive the gift of life-giving water." It is a gift. It's quoting actually from Isaiah, the prophet, and that passage in Isaiah goes on, "Come without paying and without cost." This is a gift that God gives us. He gives us the gift of himself in great abundance. And it is analogous to water. You know, we need water to live in the human world, but that's okay because water is all over the earth. Not quite everywhere, but no place that we live is very far from water. It's very abundant. And it's similar with the water that our souls thirst for. We need God in order for our souls to thrive, in order for our souls to truly live. But fortunately, we are never far from God. We can pray to him anywhere at any time, and God will give some life-giving water to our souls. We do that through prayer. We can pray as we go through our daily life, as we walk on our journey. We can take little drinks of this life-giving water as we go. But we also can run out of water on the way. We get worn down by the journey. We get worn down by the evils of the world and the evils that we do. Our sins wear us down and they drain our souls of this living water. And we thirst again. We need to keep receiving water in order to keep us strong, focused, and able to continue our journey. You know, in the morning that day, we'd all drank a lot of water and we were good to go. But as we went, we needed more because we'd run out. And it's similar with the water of our souls. The water that our souls thirst for. Living in this world, walking in this world, drains us of that. So fortunately, there are places along the way that we're able to fill up our bottle, as it were. The Sunday Mass, especially, is a primary place for that. We receive a large portion of life-giving water, enough to keep us going throughout the week. That's a beautiful thing to ask the Lord for at the Mass. "Lord, give me the strength to keep going during this week. Give me the strength to walk well on this pilgrimage of life." Another beautiful way to fill up your bottle with this life-giving water is to make a visit to our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament, in the chapel or in the church, or to take a dedicated prayer time. To really take a lengthy prayer time asking really for peace and strength. But even so, this is still the journey. This life is a journey. It's a difficult thing. You know, I when we speak of our life as a pilgrimage, I really came to appreciate just what that means more after doing this pilgrimage. You know, when we talk about the pilgrim church, we realize that means it's really tough. It means we're getting hammered with blisters and all sorts of things. It's a very difficult thing to be on pilgrimage. We weren't doing it for the journey when we were there. We weren't doing it for the roads and paths that we were walking on. We were doing it for the destination. We were walking towards St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. We had our destination in our mind, and that's what kept us going. And the place where we are going in this pilgrimage of life is a place of beauty and rest, a place where we'll no longer have to drink little sips of the life-giving water, but where we will drink from the fountain of life itself, the fountain that is God. A place where all the injuries and blisters of the journey will be healed, and where we will see in an instant that the journey was infinitely worth it. Brothers and sisters, remember to receive this life-giving water. Take drinks of it every day. Receive that water in daily prayer. Remember to fill up your bottle here at Sunday Mass and during the week at the chapel. Ask God to keep you strong throughout the week. But also remember to keep your eyes on the goal, on the destination. Heaven, the fountain of life, where our souls will drink the life-giving water that satisfies us for all eternity. Jesus, we thirst for you. Quench that thirst with your presence. Keep us strong on our journey, guide us, and bring us at last to the holy city, where we may drink from the fountain of life forever. Amen.